teachings of the Zohar in this week's Parsha and the Parsha. So the Zohar in this week's Parsha, Isha Ki Sazira, the Torah talks about the laws of birth and the ideas of impurity and impurity. So the way the Torah describes and opens up the Parsha of Tazria is Isha Ki Sazira V'yolda Zachar, that if a woman inseminates and gives birth to a son, what exactly would this mean? Ki Tazria is the sages already in Gemara talking, Chazal, the sages in the Talmud talk about this, what this idea of Tazria means. But the Zohar asks a question. In the beginning of this week's Parsha, the Zohar is Daf Mem Beis, page 42. Amar Bacha, the Yolda Zohar, and it says Isha Ki Tazria, which is after the conception, there is the birth of the son. V'chikivun de mezaasi ledes, is it true that from the moment of conception there's birth? Does it happen that there's conception immediately birth? V'ksivi yolden, that it says in the verse that she gives birth. Haikah hachim b'ayla, it should have said this way in the pasuk. Isha kitar v'yolda zachar. A woman kitazir maybe. And there was a conception. And then kisar, when she becomes pregnant, and then after becoming pregnant, v'yolda zachar, she gives birth. Like it says many other times in the Torah. Vatar vatelad, that the woman became pregnant and she gave birth. What is this idea when the pasuk says, maki tazria v'yolda? What does it mean that she was mazria at the moment of conception, insemination, right away she gave birth? Amar Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi says, itzasam yoyma dis abra ad yoyma diyoladis. A mother, a woman, from the moment she becomes pregnant until the moment she gives birth, lesla mepuma ele yelida delay ila hevedacher, she has on her mouth that continuously she speaks about this idea of giving birth to a son. Valda ishe kisazia v'yalda zacher, and therefore it says that she gives birth, that she's mazria at conception, and then she gives birth to a son, to a child. What does this mean? There's multiple levels, of course, this can be understood. As everything in the Zohar is an cryptic text that has multiple Ein Sof levels of understanding and depth to it. But let's try and understand it in a certain way, and especially related now, that because Tazria, we're entering into the month of Nisan, and we're a few weeks before Pesach. So what the Zohar is saying is like this. This is a story about birth, the story about birthing new life into this world. This could be seen as both a literal level, that a person is giving birth to a child, and of course, metaphorically, the idea of pruru, to have children, to multiply, to give birth, is the birth of creativity, the birth of something new in your life. The story of going out of Mitzrayim is the birth of Klal Yisrael, Lekachlam Goy Bekarav Goy, that was Keuber Mitzrayim, that it was the birth of the people of Israel, of Klal Yisrael, was birthed in Mitzrayim. But birthing means the birthing of a new idea, of a of something that you're lacking in this world, something that you're missing, and you wish to create this idea. This could be the creation, literally, of creating of a child, but it could also be simple things, creating of a new idea, or creating a new relationship, creating a new position, a new job position, a new business venture, to create something in your life. And what does the Zohar say? The Zohar says that it skips over the process of pregnancy, and from conception it goes right away immediate to birth. Because on the mother's lips, she's thinking and speaking about this idea of giving birth continuously. What this means is, and then finally is the birth of the child. What the Zohar is saying on a deep level is that in order for something new to be created in your life, for something to emerge in your life that's new, whether it's a new relationship, a new job, a new position, a new move to another place, something that you're lacking and something that you need and you want to birth something, a new idea or a new relationship, something that has to be birthed into this world, into your space. In order to create that space for that birth to come in order to have the ability for this creation to emerge in your life, for this newness to create in this world, you have to carve out a space within yourself. You have to create the space within yourself that allows for the possibility for another person to enter. if we're talking about relationships. Let's say we're talking about relationships. If you're saying that a person has a desire and longs to have a relationship with another person, a person is single and wishes to get married. So the Zohar is saying is that in order for a person to attract and be able to have a relationship, to able to birth themselves into a relationship with another person, and again, this with anything, is you have to carve out the space. You have to imagine sort of within yourself the space that that other person will take up. Let's say a person is about to have a child, or a person wishes to, desires to have a child, or a person desires to have a relationship, and a person says, yeah, I would love to be in a relationship with another person. Okay, that's a beautiful idea, and I really understand. It's definitely, it's an idea. I would love to live with another person. Beautiful. But so long as you don't carve out within yourself, in your own psyche, in your own consciousness, carve out a space for the other, for allow the other person to enter. And this can be almost literal. Thinking about, let's say you're living in an apartment and you would like to have a relationship with someone, enter a real relationship and find a spouse and settle down. And you say, yeah, I would love to meet someone and I would really want to have a shidduch. I really would like to have a shidduch. Or I would really like to have this new job. So it's not enough to imagine and to think about it and to daven and to pray for it, but you have to, in nafshistik, internally, you have to create that space within yourself. And you can do this almost in a literal sense, where you can imagine yourself sharing your dining room with another person, sharing your kitchen with another person, and allowing in nafshistik, on an inner level, on a consciousness level, to open up for that space. This is what it's saying. To give birth to this child, to give birth to this new, to allow for this new emergence to come into fruition, to come into existence, you have to create the space. The mother is creating the space by speaking about the child from the moment of conception. So therefore, from the moment of conception, there is already the potential of birth already latent there, because from the moment of conception, the woman is imagining the birth of this child. And because she's imagining the birth of the child, she's carving out within her own consciousness, within her own psyche, within her own mindset, the space for the child to emerge. It's as if there's no pregnancy, but it goes from immediately from conception, and then from conceptually, on an inward level, there's a birth, and then finally there's the actual birth of the child 9 months later. Now this is also going to be related, this idea, and speaking about a woman that gives birth, is going to be related specifically to the idea of going out of Mitzrayim, going out of Egypt. Egypt is a place of constriction, a place of limitation, Mitzrayim, Gvulim, a place that a person's stuck. And the story of the going out of Egypt, the first mitzvah, the Klal Yisrael, that the people of Israel received when they're in Mitzrayim, the first mitzvah, the collective mitzvah that receives, Zachodesh Zalachem, that they should count through the lunar months, they should connect to the lunar calendar. That there's a solar calendar, which we also count. There's the unification between the solar and the lunar, which is the masculine, the feminine, and the night and the day. And the idea of Achodesh Zalachem means in order for you to break out of the solar consciousness, which is the idea of Rut, Ein Chodesh Tachas Hashem, there's nothing new under the sun, it's the world of predictability. And therefore the Egyptians were worshippers of the sun. They were Ra worshippers, which is the Hebrew word for negative, Hashem tells Klal Yisrael that in order for us to get out of that space, to believe in the alternative, believe in the possibility, we have to create that within our own imagination, the possibility. Kerez of Akadosh, the idea of the new moon represents chiddush, represents novelty, represents new, the possibility of something further in the future tense. This is the difference between, in general, the difference between the sun and the moon. The Zohar says the difference also between the masculine and the feminine, that men, masculine, generally are connected, Zachar, the word male, is connected to the word Zachir, Zachar, the same, the word for remembrance, for past, is also connected with the idea with memory. And Nekeva, Isha, comes from the word Kineshani Elikim, which is that I forgot the past. And Nekev, which means to penetrate something in the future. That's why the woman's reality is more connected to the feminine reality, is connected to this world of imagination, this world of possibility. Not to get stuck in a certain pattern, a certain way of being, but to imagine different. When the woman imagines that there's a possibility for a new life to emerge, that's when she gives birth. That's when birth is allowed to happen within the home. There's a pasuk, there's a verse in Micha, in the Perek Vav, in the chapter 6, the book of Micha says like this, Ki elischam eretz Mitzrayim, O mebeis avid, beis avich, beis avadim pidisicha, that I have elevated you taken you out of Egypt, from the house of bondage I freed you. And have sent in front of you Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. So for the pasuk we see, for this verse we see, in Tanakh we see, that there is an idea that there are three people that were instrumental for the redemption of Mitzrayim, out of Mitzrayim. Of course, ani v'loy malach v'loy shliach, anihu v'loy achar. Certainly the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that Hashem took us out of Egypt and no one else. But the medium, kaviyachol, through which Hashem alone allowed for the freedom that facilitated this process is through three people, three siblings, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. It's brought down in the Sefer Rekeach from the Baal Rekeach, the Lez of Girmaiza. It's brought down in Sefer Rekeach. It's an early text from the times of the Hasidi Ashkenaz, a student of Yehuda Hasid, from Germany in the 1100s, that what the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that a person has to have on the kair, or has to eat two tafshilim, two cooked foods. So this corresponds to Moshe and Aaron. Even today on the kair, the two cooked foods correspond to Moshe and Aaron. It's brought down in Meisr Rekeach that years back before that, hundreds of years before that, in times of Rashi Yugan, which is one of the later Goinim, from Babylon, they used to put also a third item on the kaira. It was an added item, and that item corresponded to Miriam. So we see that it was already done then. There was a practice that was done to symbolically remember the idea of Miriam in the Seder. The Baal HaTosfos, who lived a little later in Provence and in France, the Baal HaTosfos write in the period in the commentary, it's a collection of the commentary in the beginning of Shmois, that Miriam is connected, the word Miriam, which is the root of the word mar, which is bitter, is connected to mar, which is the bitter herbs. So Miriam's connected to bitter. And really, the source of this already comes from a medesh, from a much earlier source, that the Psikta Rukana says, that with the birth of Miriam, that's when the real hardship of Golas Mitzrayim, the exile of Mitzrayim, began. So 86 years, Miriam was 86 years old when they left Mitzrayim. Moshe was 80, she was older than him. So they were 86 years old. So when the last 86 years was the hardest shiba, the hardest form of slavery in Egypt, with the birth of Miriam. So when Miriam was born, that's when the Meriris began. That's when the real hardship began. Incidentally, 86 is connected to the Shem Elikim, which is the idea of judgment and harshness. So those are the 86. This is a psikta. There's also a Medrash Rabban Shmois, and the Medrash says, that they bittered their life. That life became bitter, but Himel Hakadosh Baruch Hu Goyel, that at that time Hashem was also when the starting of the bitterness, that's when the beginning of the real harshness of the exile began, is when Vayimaras Chayim, they made the life bitter. But Himel Goyel, Hashem also established for them, for Klal Yisrael, for the people of Israel, a redeemer who is Miriam, and Miriam is called Hashem Hamar. She's called in the name of Mar. So what does this mean? That Miriam is the Meriris. There's a difference between Atzus and Meriris. There's a difference between, like the Alter Rebbe writes in Tanya, that there's a difference between depression and bitterness. Depression is when you feel dejected, you feel low, you feel down, and then the deepest level of depression is you stop feeling. That's what happens in depression. A person stops just feeling, and they're so down that they stop feeling and they give up on life. This total apathy and lackadaisical sense of self and no interest. This is what the sense of depression is. Merira's bitterness means I recognize that something is negative, something is bad, something is unfortunate happening in my life, and maybe it's complicated and there's really, really harshness that is happening in my life. But merira's means that I'm bitter about it, which means I long for something different. So it's the opposite of lacking to feel, because you feel very deeply. I feel the situation. Instead of saying I feel so bad and therefore I just give up, and that's atzvus and yeish, that giving up, it's I feel terrible, but I have cheshek, I have desire, I have longing for something different. I know it could be different. I know it's possibly different. And to use my power of my imagination, the idea of prophecy, it talks about that Miriam was a prophet even before Moshe and Aaron were the prophets, because she's the one that told her parents to remarry and that they'll have a child that will be the redeemer, and she was the one that stood from the distance to watch when they put Moshe in the Nile, because she and the Gemara says that Amram then said, you know, what's with your prophecy, and she never gave up. So she was always longing and hopeful and prophetic, which is an imagination, the ability connected to the lunar month, connected to the moon, the ability to see the possibility that's going to happen. And this is an important ingredient in order to get to a place of our freedom, in order to birth something new in our life, in order to change our life. Changing our life and birthing something new, of course, we can talk about this on a physical level. It's a job, it's a relationship, it's even having a child. This is one level, certainly on a spiritual level, that in order to free ourselves, to get to a higher place, to be in a deeper place, to live more deeply in our lives, we have to first imagine the possibility that we could. Because so much of the reason that we're stuck in certain patterns of behavior, certain ways of behavior, is because we have a little inner narrative that tells us, a certain image of ourselves that tells us, you're a shlamazel, you're a shlamil, you're impossible, it's not going to work, you're incapable, and spiritually you're incapable, whatever that little voice that tells you. And why that voice came about is not relevant, because you're only living in the present moment and you have choice how you're going to deal with this voice, whether it's your parents, your upbringing, your your education, whatever the reason why this voice was created, this inner little inner image, you have the power right now in this present moment to create a new image for yourself, to imagine yourself another possibility, an alternative, to imagine yourself giving birth to a child, to imagine yourself birthing yourself into a higher place, to living in a much more refined way, in an edel way, in a higher way, in a delicate way, in a subtle way, in a contemplative way, to live differently, to imagine the possibility of what you can become. And this is what we, and this is with everything, every single type of birth that we're trying to create, anything that we wish to be manifested in our life. So in order for something to manifest in our life, we have to first have the image of what we want that thing to be manifested as. So a person has, of course, has to experience Dveikus and closeness to Hashem, which is the ultimate creator of everything, and to Mispala, to Daven, to connect to that. But in the internal aspect, in terms of what we have to do, is we have to create this imagination, this possibility, this framework, this image. And what the Pasuk is telling us, and what the Torah is telling us, is that we need three elements here. We need the Miriam, which is the possibility of the imagination, but we also need the Moshe and Aaron. What is the Moshe and Aaron? So Moshe represents the Bechina. Moshe is the idea of Das. Moshe is the idea of awareness. Moshe is connected to Chachma. Particularly, the root of the Moshe's name is Memhe, which is Ma, Koyach Ma, the power of what, the potential, which is the idea of Chachma, wisdom, clarity of wisdom, of awareness. That's Moshe. That's why he's the receiver of the Torah, which is intelligence, divine intelligence. Aaron is Madlikas HaMenorah. Aaron is the one that kindles the menorah, which is seven branches of the menorah, like the Alter Rebbe writes in the Torah, that seven branches represents the seven qualities of emotions of Klal Yisrael. And Aaron represents the heart of Klal Yisrael. Aaron is the Oyev Shalom, Roid of Shalom. Aaron is the seeker of peace, the lover of peace. He's the one that bridges relationships and creates harmony between families. He represents the heart. Moshe represents the mind, and Aaron represents the heart. And Miriam represents the power of imagination and the power of longing. And in order for us to create on our own personal life, to think about this in our own, because on the night of going out of Mitzrayim, on the night of Pesach, we say, at the end of the Haggadah, we say that b'chol dor v'dor chayodim lir sesatzme, l'har sesatzme, a person has to see and show to other people, kishuhu yotz Mitzrayim, that you yourself went out of Mitzrayim. This, which could mean, on a very simple level, this means that you have to imagine yourself that you left Mitzrayim thousands of years ago. But the Alter Rebbe writes in Tanya, b'chol dor v'dor, every generation means b'chol yom v'yom, every single day a person has to imagine themselves leaving their own constriction, their own limitation, that Hashem is taking you out of your own smallness and your narishkeit, and your own small state of being, your own constricted state, that a person has to imagine not only behold yom v'yom, but behold shav v'shav, every single moment, like is mentioned in the sichas, the idea that every single moment a person has to understand that Hashem is there, and it will help you if you just open yourself up to this possibility to receive this gift of having freedom. And the facilitators of this process is three things. We need Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. We need Moshe to give us a clear vision of what we want. Moshe is the seichel, the intelligence. So you'll say, okay, I'm stuck in a certain situation. I would like to enter into a relationship with another person. I'm looking to seek a spouse. Okay, that's very clear. This is the Moshe. This is the Das, the awareness is telling us this is what I should seek. or the Chachma, or it's my own personal life, inner life, my own, I'm struggling with anger, I'm struggling with being judgmental, I'm struggling with laziness, I'm struggling with all these negative emotions, and I wish to free myself, I wish to live higher, I wish to live deeper. So I have a certain understanding of that. That's the first important thing. Then I use my power of imagination. This is all coupled together with tefillah, of course. But the first is I use my seichel, my intelligence, to come up with an idea, a structure, what I would like to create in my life. And I have this certain idea. Then I use my power of imagination, the power of Miriam, and longing, and I long and I create and I imagine the possibility of that reality emerging, of the child that's going to be born, of the new job that I'm going to have, of the place that I'm going to live, of the perfect relationship that I'm going to have. This is what I'm imagining, because I have the certain seichel, understanding of it, and I also have the imagination of that idea, but I also have my passion, my desires, my longings, and my cheshek is also there. My emotions are present. Because if you have just a conception of the idea which you want in your life, even if you can imagine the possibility that which you wish in your life, but your heart is not into it, that means if you say, I would really theoretically like to get married, let's say a person is single and say, I would really like to get married. It makes sense for me. My seichel tells me, my intelligence tells me this is the right thing for me to do right now in my life, and I want to settle down, and I would like to start a family. This is what I want. Okay, then I even imagine it. I can carve out within space within myself to create the imagination, to create this potential using my koyach atzir, to imagine this possibility of me living in a relationship with the other person. But my heart really doesn't feel it. I'm not really emotionally connected to this reality. Yeah, if it happens, it happens. Theoretically, it's a nice idea on the world of conception, the world of, you know, objective reality. Then it's never going to work. In order for something to work correctly, you need the Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, which means you need both the seichel, you need the intelligence, you need the imagination, and you need also the passion, which represents Aaron. And together, like the pasuk says, "Vashalach l'fneichem," I sent in front of you Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. I sent in front of you to take you out of Egypt, to take you out of your own constriction, your own limitation. This is the beginning. This is the level of Moshe, which represents within our own level of consciousness, within our own level of self, because all the characters of the Torah. We know from the Baal Shem HaKadosh, from other tzaddikim, that all the characters of the Torah, everyone in the Torah, there's a bechin of all these levels within our own self. And we have to find what that level within our own self means. What is the Moshe within ourselves? The Moshe Shabbat Kamrin, there's a level of Moshe in every person. There's a level of Aaron, because he's one of the Reyes, Reyes saw that the idea of there's an Aaron within us, there's a Moshe within us, there's a Miriam within us. And to collectively, to bring all those three into the forefront, to allow us to become, to truly become who we really could become, and to live in our optimal level of self, and stop living in a place of darkness, live in a true place of light and openness and expansiveness. And Hashem should bless us all. Hashem should give us the blessing. Hashem does bless us, but we should receive the blessing that we should enter Pesach and truly receive Moichin de Galus, the expansive mind, the Moichin of Abba, Moichin Ima, the higher levels of intelligence that should be clear to us, a clarity of who we are, what we're supposed to be doing in this world. And we should have a Gula Pratis. We should have, each one should experience a individual redemption, a personal redemption, a personal state of expansiveness, which eventually and will through that will bring about the Gula Klolis.